But is that indeed your story? Blessed assurance. In this hour, we want to ask the question, what's your story? Not what it should be, not what it was, not what you hope it will be, but pertinent right now, what is your story? Let me begin and give you very briefly my story. I grew up in North Alabama, graduated from high school in 1978 in Huntsville, Alabama. My high school baseball coach was an elder in the Lord's church. And he knew somebody at Freed Hardeman University and begged them to take me up there to play baseball, and they gave me a little money, and they found out pretty quickly that I wasn't what they thought or heard I was. So at the end of 1 year, I had met a lady from Southwest Virginia. I moved to Buchanan County, Tazewell, Russell County area, and she and I were married. I completed a 2-year degree at the community college, a 4-year degree at the University of Virginia at Wise, and went on to get my master's and became an administrator. During that time, Regina was a high school teacher. We had a daughter by the name of Jenna. Next week, Jenna will be the anniversary of Jenna's death. She died 2 years ago of heart failure. After that fact, Regina has passed away, and I started attending the congregation in Lebanon, where I met Robin. Robin and I have a son, Connor, and Jenna's daughter, Allie, is my granddaughter as well. During that time that I was teaching and coaching, I was also working for a small rural congregation in Buchanan County. When I came to Lebanon, I started doing the fill-in and so forth at that place and other places as well. Our preacher left. They said, "Will you consider it?" I did. 12 years later, I'm the full-time minister, retired from education, and now working with the congregation. You know, I thought on the way up here this morning, if Coach Smith had never asked Freed Hardeman to give me money to play baseball, I probably wouldn't be preaching at Pulaski this morning. I don't know if I'd ever found my way to Southwest Virginia. Now, I use that to illustrate our thought this morning. Everybody has a story. If we went around the auditorium this morning and I said, "Here we are in Pulaski County, Virginia, on October the 26th, 2025, how did you get here?" Some of you would say, "Well, I was born and raised right down the road, been here all my life." Others may say, "You know, it was work that brought me here. Maybe it was that plant, maybe it was another type of work. We loved it, we settled here." Others will say, "Well, I married him and I married her and they're from here and that's why we're here." And there may be even people who say, I'm not sure how I got here. But I look about and I begin to see it. We all have a different story. And irregardless of what our story may be past, what it may be future, you are here this morning because of your story. Now, let's think for just a moment within our study. What about spiritually? What is your story spiritually? I can tell you, I spent 18 years in North Alabama. I came to Southwest Virginia, and now at age 19 and from that time, there's a reason I am where I am. There's a reason you are where you are. What about spiritually? Maybe this morning I stop and I look at my life and I say, "You know, I am so proud to be a member of the Lord's body. I obeyed the gospel in 19-something, in 2000-something, and from that point forward, I've tried to do the best of my ability to be faithful to the point of death." But perhaps others throughout the brotherhood may say, "You know, I obeyed the gospel, but when I stop and really think, my story right now is not what it should be. I should be more, I should be better. Hebrews 5, I ought to be a teacher, but I have need that one teach me again. You know, sadly enough, throughout the Lord's church, if we talked about spiritually, there may be some who would say, yeah, I'm not really sure what my spiritual story is. I remember a time that it was up, 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 and I remember another time that maybe it was down, down, down. I remember a time that maybe it was kind of flatlined. Well, hopefully this morning, as we finish in just a few moments, we can answer ourselves personally what our story is. Maybe another thought as we introduce. Don't forget, you're writing it, not me. You said I do to a man or a woman some time ago, perhaps. They're not writing your story. You have children, perhaps, that you've raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And maybe they're married and they have children and they're gone. Maybe they're still with you. It's not their story. It's your story. 1 year as principal at the day of graduation practice, had all the seniors in the gym, and as Josh knows, that's absolute chaos, but we did it, and we went through it, and on the way out, I gave them a pen. It said Tazewell High School on it, and I told them, I said, listen, after tonight, you're writing your story. And for you and I spiritually, on this particular day, days past, Lord's will, days present, we are writing our own story. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. His name was Abram. He later became known as Abraham. And we could say this morning, to help you and I kind of decide who we are and what we have, we could say this morning that Abraham had a good story. In Genesis chapter 12, beginning of verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, let's just stop right there. When God tells you something, it leads to a good story. God doesn't throw any curveballs. God doesn't leave it up for our mind and our mystery. And this text that we're going to talk about, when God called Abram to leave, the Bible says, and the Lord had said unto Abram, you better pay attention. This is a good story. Notice what he said. Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. If God has the foundation for a good story, and it begins sometimes with change, God is saying, Abram, your story is about to change. Abram, selected for a reason. You know the story of Abraham. You know what it proceeds to. It's implied, certainly within our text, that through him all nations of the earth would be blessed. You have the land promise. We talk about Father Abraham, faithful Abraham. Abram, your story is getting ready to change. I want you to go to a land, to a country. I want you to leave where you're at. I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to leave your father's house, and I will show thee too. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. And I will make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I just thought the other day, is my story a blessing? Perhaps to others around me? Is the story that I'm writing as a Christian husband, is it a blessing to my wife and to my children, my grandchildren, nieces, nephews? The place that I live, what is God telling Abram? I'm going to take you somewhere, and I'm going to show you something, and I'm making a promise unto you. Verse number 3. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. When you take time sometime, go through 1, 2, and 3 of Genesis 12 and look at the I, God. This morning, if I'm talking about the story of Abraham, if I'm talking about my story, and I'm trying to figure out, well, what is my story? We have an example of a good one. And it began with God choosing Abram. Let's go to verses 4 and 5. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth into the land of Canaan. To the land of Canaan they came. Raise your hand if you see any reply of Abraham to the request of God. There is none. Where are the questions? There are. Where are the complaints? Where's the argument? Where's the I need? No. Abram, I'm choosing you, and I want you to leave all that you have, your country, your kinsmen, those things that are your story now. And I want you to go to a land. I'll show you the land. And I'm going to make you these promises of blessing, promises of a great nation. I will bless thee. You will be a blessing. We get to 4 and 5. Abraham went. There was not a question. This morning, what's my story? It has to begin with God. And now 4 and 5, I just need to hush. I need to look in Scripture and say, God, here is the story that you want me to have. Now, I'm going to make the determination without question, without argument, without complaint. I'm going to take what you want me to do, and I'm going to do that. Let's skip down to verse 7. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Hai on the east. There he builded an altar unto the Lord, called upon the name of the Lord. Still Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. What do we find here? You got the promise of God. Let's back up. Initiated with God. Quietness on the part of Abram because it was God. Abram obeying what God wanted him to do. Now the blessing of that. What do we have here? We got a good story. It's simple. In Genesis 12, 1 through 9, that's a very simple story. So this morning I open my Bible and I see what God would have me to do. It originates with God. It's going to be a good story. There's no need for me to question, complain, ponder, imagine, or try to add to. I just take what he said. And I go forth and obey that. Abram offering his worship unto God in recognition of who said and who sinned and who promised that he is God. And I begin to understand, you know what? Man, that's a good story. You know the rest of the story of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning of verse 8, by faith, Abraham. That's a good story. When he was called to go to a place that he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out. That's a good story. God said, I do. That's a good story. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city, that's a good story, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Genesis 12, Abram, come on. I want you to go. I'll show you where to go. Here's the promise. Abram went. That's a good story. Let's talk about a unique story for just a moment. What about Saul, who later became known as the Apostle Paul? I want you to think for just a moment. You know very well Acts chapter 7 ends with the stoning of Stephen. They ran up on him with their ears stopped. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want any more. And they put him to death. We get to Acts chapter 8. There was a man, a persecutor by the name of Saul. And the Bible said he consented unto the stoning of Stephen. We also read in Acts chapter 8 in those verses, he was a persecutor. The Bible says that he made great havoc of the church. Stephen had been put to death. Acts 8 and verse 2, the church is in mourning, they're lamenting, they're wondering. And here we have this individual by the name of Saul. We get to Acts chapter 9. Saul's got some authoritative papers to do what he did best. He was going down to Damascus, and he had authority papers that said, you can arrest, you can imprison. Saul, you just keep right on doing what you're doing. Making havoc of the church, speaking against the church, doing those things of imprisonment and arresting and causing mad problems against the church. You know what happened on the way to Damascus. You know that the Lord appeared unto him. You know that he began to recognize. Certainly Jesus recognized in appearing to him, and he told Saul, you go into the city. And when you get to the city, it will be told you what you need to do. You know the story, will not go over the whole account. When you get into the city, he finds one, Ananias, and Ananias is a little concerned, right? Why? Because of who he was. Because of his background. For you and I this morning, very quickly and simply, because of his story. His story was not good. His story was noted in Scripture. His story was thought to be important enough that we read in Acts 8 that Saul, and no doubt others, that the church was scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the Word of God. Because of Saul and people like Saul, there was a great push against the church. You know that Ananias taught him the gospel of Christ. You know, as Paul recalled his conversion in Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This is an interesting story. You may know somebody like this. Maybe they were not persecutors of the church. But on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe their spiritual life, maybe their moral aspect of life, maybe their pride of life, spiritually is about a 1. But one day, somebody, somewhere, maybe even within themselves, they begin to see and understand, what do I need to do? There has to be a change. We know that Saul was to be later become Paul, an apostle to the Gentiles. That he was one chosen. I did a lesson a few months ago in Johnson City on a Wednesday night. Why did God choose Saul? Because of his background, he knew what he could do. Because of his influence to go from negative to positive. A lot of reasons, perhaps, why. We don't know for sure. But as I look at this, his story changed. Now let me make a point, another lesson for another day. If God, through His Son Jesus Christ, could change Saul, .. Could he change you and I? Romans 5 and verse 8, while we were in sin. That's a big word. It's a magnitude of a word of the lives of so many. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, wide gate, broad way, and many there be which go in thereat. And yet we also read, what would it prosper a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So the value of every soul, the value of the magnitude of a man like Saul when he obeyed the gospel. We had Abraham, that's a good story. Saul's an interesting story. Thirdly, this morning, we're here to talk about our story. It may be to help us to understand and answer that question. Turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And we want to notice a couple of verses there that will help us to understand at least what our story should be. Remember, we mentioned in Bible class this morning, it's your pen, it's your paper, and it's your story. Let's start in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. There's a sense of obligation and the reason why. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. That phrase is over 200 times in the King James Bible. I'm talking about cowardness. In one aspect, yes. Proper fear, proper respect, looking to God, understanding. If you want to write a good story, as it was in Genesis 12, it has to begin with God. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by my name, by thy name, and thou art mine. What is verse 1 saying through the prophet? In light of what God has done. On Wednesday night, we're studying through the book of Isaiah, and we're at that point now that Isaiah is telling the people of Judah, look what he did. The deliverance, the protection, the providence, the guidance. And look at you. Your rebellion. Well, here's the same thought of the process from the beginning. First of all, you need to be concerned in light of what God has done. Verse number 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Here's number one. I've got an obligation. It used to always amaze me sometimes to hear people say, ho, ho, I don't answer to anybody. I remember on certain occasions when I was a coach, in my mind, I knew I didn't answer to anybody, but at the same time, I answered to a lot of people. What about as children of God? I'm writing my story. I've got the pen. I've got the paper. Today is the October edition of my story, if you will, the 26th. I have to understand, first of all, there's an obligation that I have unto God because of the fact of what God has done. Never forget, we are walking, we are riding, we are living, we are understanding, we are focused in this life. As I write, based upon what God has done. We'll talk a little bit about that again more tomorrow night. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the list could go on and on. Let's stay in the book of Isaiah for just a moment. Go down to verse number 10. In light of what God has done, You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Look at the eyes, as we did in verses 1 through 3. Now look at the mas, a possession. God told the people then, certainly by implication throughout the New Testament now, we mentioned in Bible class, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. That principle was Old Testament. That principle, you are my witnesses. People ought to see me through you. I remember when I was a freshman at Freed Hardeman, had Brother Artis Hill for English Comp, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7:30. And he was a great man, but he was a very stickler on writing. Couldn't write, didn't matter what you read. I've heard him say that many times before. And I remember on one occasion we had an assignment. He put a topic on the board and he said, okay, I want a one-page paper on this topic. Off the top of your head. No research. Go. So I started writing, as Brother Hill had taught us, an introductory paragraph. And I wrote for 2 or 3 minutes, as did everyone else, and Brother Hill said, stop. Pass your paper back to the person behind you. And the person on the end, bring your paper to the front. Take their paragraph and keep writing. Now think about this. My roommate said at the end of my row, he wasn't too smart. Now I have his paper to keep on writing. So he said, go. We're writing. I get through paragraph 2, trying to make Ken look good. I'm in paragraph 3. He says, stop. Pass it back again. Conclude the paper. And that's hard. It's hard for me to conclude what you started. It's hard for me to continue what you started. I don't know your thought. I don't know where you were going. I don't know the end result of where you wanted to be. But now it's on me. Your story's not like that. You write it all. From the introduction to the conclusion. And that story, 2 paragraphs, 3 paragraphs, 30 years, 35 years, 65 years, ought to reflect verse 11. That I'm writing, declaring God. Look at verse, or excuse me, 10. Look at 11. I am the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, I have saved, I have showed. There was no strange God, little g, among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. So as I write every day, by my actions, by my thought, by my influence, among my family, among strangers, among my enemies, among my brethren, the declaration ought to be God. We mentioned this morning in Bible class, you're the salt of the earth. That cannot be said about anyone else. You're the light of the world. That can't be said by anyone else. 16, therefore, allow your light to shine. How? How do you do that? By your story. By what I write every day. With my pen. Maybe another thought before we moved on. Is that what your story reveals? There is probably no doubt, if I had a good memory, that there were certain papers that I wrote in Brother Hill's class that may not have been based upon what we were supposed to read to write that paper about. I knew enough to write something. In each and every day of life, sometimes it becomes almost habitual that I know enough to write something. But you know, Isaiah said, my story ought to reveal God. This is what we have thus far in our lesson. We have a good story, Genesis 12, Abram. We have an interesting story, Acts 9, Saul. We have from Isaiah something to cause me to reflect. What's my story? We'll go more into this in detail throughout the week. Let me give you some good tips for writing a story. First of all, you have to understand the characters. It's you and God, period. The characters of the story that you're writing today is you and God. I know there's family, I know there's friends, I know there's colleagues, I know there's brethren, I know there's preachers and elders and deacons, but it's your pen and your paper and your story as a child of God, and the characters are you and God. Number two, you're part of the greatest story ever told. I was at a Hall of Fame induction yesterday at a local high school back home, and they had listed all the people who'd been put in the Hall of Fame over the years. Some of the names Connor and I recognize for athletic ability. Some are in the Major League Hall of Fame. One is, that's pretty impressive. I need to understand in my spiritual story, if I'm doing my part in writing, it's pretty impressive. It's not because of your political affiliation. It's not because of where you live geographically. It's not because of your last name. You're part of the greatest story ever told. A quick tip. You are not the focus of your story. God is. You know, if we wrote, I used to enjoy, I never enjoyed writing, but if you want me to reflect on something, that's leaving it all up to me. You can't tell me I'm wrong if I'm just reflecting on something. But in this case, I'm not the focus. And every day I live, and every word I write, and every word I speak, and on and on and on, I'm not the focus. God is the focus. Number four. I think to write a good story, you got to understand happiness. Not every story ends and they lived happily ever after. Not every story ends like that. Sometimes stories end in tragedy. Sometimes stories end with a great amount of sadness. Sometimes they end unexpectedly. But through the writing, I'm declaring God. I know the characters are God and I understand I'm part of the greatest story ever told. It's not about me, it's about God. Is that not a sense of joy? A sense of happiness and understanding? That my labor is not in vain? That my story matters? Number five, we're writing a good story. You got to understand, this is temporary. It has a beginning and it'll have an end. It's not a permanent story. You know, sometimes we watch an athletic event and maybe at the end of the contest, the commentator will say, this game will go down in history as one of the greatest World Series games ever played. Maybe somebody gives a political speech or some type of speech and they say, you know, that speech will go down in history. What about my story? It's not a dot, dot, dot at the end. It has a beginning It has an end. And I need to understand this world's not my home. I'm just passing through, writing my story. But there'll come a day that I'll stand before God in judgment based upon my story. And lastly, and oblivious to some people, you know, you do have an eraser. You cannot rewrite your story. Whatever mistakes I made last year, they're made. I forget the things which are behind, Philippians 3:13. But I could make some changes. Saul did. A lot of characters of the Bible. You take Simon in Acts chapter 8, obeyed the gospel, erred, tried to buy the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He wore out his eraser in one chapter. Think about that. I can change. And then lastly, you're going to finish your story. I had a professor, we were talking a moment ago about graduate school. I had a professor, can't remember her name now, in graduate work. And she used to have us write about issues in education, and she timed you. That drove me crazy. For the next 30 minutes, write a reflection on the policy of. And I'm thinking, I shouldn't be timed. It's not right. You're going to finish your story. There will come a time in the lives of us all at 35, 45, 65, 95, child of God, indifferent, faithful, whatever the case may be, there will come a time that our story will end. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to go to the local elementary school and do Bible time before school started. They hated for it to end. And I said, no, that was the bell. You got to go. What about our story? Let's conclude this morning. You're part of a story, a physical one. That's how you got to Pulaski County. And at Newbern Road this morning for the worship with the Pulaski Church of Christ in the 11 o'clock hour. That's your physical story. And you have a spiritual story as well. Tonight we're going to talk about how to write a bad story. Tomorrow night, Lord's will, how to write a good story. But right now, let's concentrate on, I can't rewrite it, but I can change it. And the urgency in the matter is, every story has a the end. Maybe as we looked at our Bible class this morning, Blessed Assurance, in our lesson now, as we looked upon the fact as children of God that I'm writing my story, maybe it may be the fact there are those in our audience who need to obey the gospel, to become a child of God, to understand that's the story that matters. I gained the whole world, lost my own soul. What a bad story. But I'm going to declare God by the life that I live. And if I need to obey the gospel to do that, become His child, to begin writing a story that honors and declares, not me, but God. It may be the case this morning as I'm writing, as I've reflected and studied this morning, I begin to see I need to change my story. I need to do better. I need to do more. I need to be stronger. Perhaps there are things in my life that kind of dictated the fact that it's a terrible story right now. But I can change it with a penitent heart, with a prayerful heart. Coming to God and telling God, maybe in a public way or in a private way, with the godly sorrow, and thus to begin to write a good story. If you're here this morning, in some way you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, we ask that you do that. It's your story. It's your pen. And if you need to come, if you'll do so, as together we stand.